3 days later, we got back a picture that looked a lot like this. And we realized that's not doing exactly what it's supposed to be doing. And so some 3 days later, or 3 years later or so, we sent up a contact lens, as it were, that over 8 feet was only different from one part to the other by 0.002 millimeter. And that turned that picture more into something like that. Now, this doesn't even do it justice with our high-definition screen up here. Two things that are illustrated by this. Number one, man can make mistakes. Number two, small corrections can yield great and huge rewards, and definitely, definitely worthwhile. That is what we're going to talk about today. If you're turning your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, while you're turning there, we will be talking about making changes. We're thankful for the folks that are here that are visiting. We've already noted that there's almost half the congregation is visitors, not quite, but there are several of you, and we're grateful for your presence here. We aim to encourage one another. That's our goal. And we hope to encourage you, and we hope that you're encouraging us, and you are. If you have a question about what we do or what we say, then please talk to us later. If we can help each other, then we'll have done a good thing. Also, if you have a cell phone, you might want to turn it down so it doesn't become a distraction. And also, one of the expedients that this building has is an air conditioner. Is anybody in here cool? Is anybody hot? Lots of people are just normal, though. Again. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll get into the text. Verses 17 through 19, it begins with what not to do. And to state it, to live an ungodly life doing ungodly things. Ephesians 4, 17. So this I say, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk. Okay, Ephesians is primarily written to Gentiles ethnically. So this is saying, look, don't walk like your ethnic self, but don't act like they did. Don't act like you used to act as a Gentile. In the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But, and here starts the why not to do what they had learned about and committed to when they heard and accepted the gospel. Verse 20, but you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, just as in truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former way of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. So we have what not to do, why not to do, and then this brief exposition finishes up with what to do. And it starts with stop living in sin. Verse 22, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. Now, you might think to yourself, wait a minute, didn't it just say that? And yes, it did just say that. In verse 17, I say and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles. And then down here again in verse 22, lay aside your old self. He says it two times. I guess that means it's worth repeating. Stop sinning. One time. And then he says it again. Stop sinning. I guess we need to hear it more than one time. Something else going on here. It is an imperative. Actually, it's infinitive in form, but in function, it's imperative. Any sin, it doesn't matter what the sin is, any sin that you have is a conscious and conscientious and self-determined act, sinning and stopping sinning. It doesn't happen accidentally, without thought or without effort. In other words, Paul wasn't saying here some spell. No longer walk just as the Gentiles. What does he say in verse 22? Lay aside your old self. That's not what Paul is doing. God, why is it that I'm still am the way I am? Paul's curse didn't work. No. God says, look, you have to take the bull by the horns. It's up to you. Why are you still the way you are? That's up to you. with this sin, with any sin, with the rest of what we're talking about, remember, responsibility is ours, not God's. Now, the second thing of what to do is to start over in your mind with a clean slate. Verse 23, "And you be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Remember, you are being corrupted with the lusts of deceit in verse 23. In verse 22. In verse 23, "you be renewed in the spirit of your mind." The mind. This word mind itself is used twice. And mind is also in this word and that word. The word mind you'll find in there. You'll see it in there. In other words, the mind is important. This is telling us to renew the mind. Renew your mind. Compare repent. Do you remember what that word is? If you don't remember, go home and look it up. It's two words, change and mind. Huh. He's saying, renew your mind. This isn't anything new for them. They've already heard this. This is what they heard in the beginning when they heard the gospel for the first time. It's saying, renew your mind. In other words, you want a clean slate. You want a mind that has no previous bad impressions. That's the idea. What is that? Etch-a-sketch? Take it, shake it up, and watch everything disappear. And it's ready for new input. That's exactly what he's saying here. And then, start over with a mind with a clean slate, and then start doing, and behind the doing, wanting godly things. Verse 24, "Put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness and truth." All right, so we summarize it so far, or really we state the goal. The goal is godly behavior and godly character. That's the goal, that's what he's talking about. Now, the key is mentioned one time in verse 22. "So that, in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside your old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit." I'm reading out in the New American Standard, whatever your version is. It's talking about a strong desire. You have a strong desire, and these are deceitful. What that means is, they're telling you it's going to bring about one thing, and it doesn't. Here, do this, and you'll have this. And so you do it, and guess what? You don't get what it promised. It's a lust of deceit. Now, it's in contrast, Proverbs 11:35 uses this same word, this lust. The godly man, the righteous man, lusts only after what is good. So you can have the strong desire. There's nothing inherently wrong with strong desire. It depends on what it is you're desiring, the object of your affections, right? So he's saying, look, there's a choice here. You can have a strong desire for that which is wrong, or a strong desire for that which is right. And this is the key to determining whether or not you're going to fulfill the goal. This brings us to the second part of our lesson. What we want automatically determines what kind of person we are, what we do, and our relationship with God, both now and in eternity. In verse 22... it says that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self. Okay, old self here has to do with your former manner of life. So it really refers to three things. It refers to what self does. Look at verse 17. "I say together with the Lord that you walk no longer as the Gentiles walk." Okay, that's what you're doing. The old self is walking as the Gentiles. And in verse 19, "they're given over for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness." That's what the old self does. Now, old self also refers to what the old self is. What kind of self is. Verse 17 says it's futile in mind. That means you have a useless mind, is what it's saying. "Darkened in your understanding. Ignorance is in them because of the hardness of their hearts." And verse 19, "they have become callous." That's the kind of self this self is. And then there's the where this self is. Verse 18, "excluded from the life of God." All right. Verse 22, "that in reference to your old manner, you lay aside your old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit." This term, "in accordance with," whatever your version says, is what we want to look at. Basically, the idea is that whatever's happening, it's automatic. And I'll give you an example. Turn to any of your Gospels. It doesn't matter. Turn to the first page, the title page of pick a Gospel, any Gospel. Many versions have just the word John or Mark. maybe your version is like that. But the manuscript behind it has more than that. If you're reading from the King James Version, it has much more than that. But all of them have at least two words. The name and another word, which is according to. Okay? For example, my New American Standard has the gospel according to John. And here's the idea. If you have a question about the gospel and you go up to John, what's he going to tell you? This. Every time, that's what John does. It's prescripted. John, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, tell me the gospel. The gospel, according to them, is this, and they'll recite it because that's what God gave them to recite every time. It's automatic. Also, Acts 19, go ahead and turn, or Acts 23, excuse me. In Acts 23, Paul's imprisoned. His nephew finds out, hey, they're trying to kill him. And so he sends his nephew to the centurion. The centurion hears him. In Acts 23, verse 23, he, the centurion, called to him two of the centurions, or actually it's commander, not a centurion, and said, get 200 soldiers ready by the third hour of the night and proceed to Caesarea with 70 horsemen and 200 spearmen. And they were also to provide mounts to Paul, to bring Paul on and bring him safely to Felix the governor. Okay, so this commander gives his soldiers this command. Verse 31. So the soldiers, in accordance with their orders, took Paul and did it. You see, the boss man gives him certain instructions. Data gets input. And guess what happens? In accordance with the data that's input, there's a certain response. Every time you put in this data, in accordance with the data, something else will automatically come every time. That's the idea. Back here in Ephesians 4, this is what we have. In 17 through 22, self pursued what self wanted, the lust of deceit. And it automatically dictated what self did and what self became. It became corrupted and determined where self would spend eternity, excluded from the life of God. This is the system. You put in certain data, you will guaranteed get a certain outcome every single time. In fact, in verse 23, here's the opposite. If self wants good things, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That says you don't want the lust of deceit, you want the lust of righteousness, the lust of good things. And what will happen naturally? Put on a new self, which is in the likeness of God, and has been created in righteousness and holiness and truth. In verses 23 through 24, self pursues what self wants, same thing, but this time the wants have changed. Lust of righteousness. And it automatically dictates what self does and what self becomes. Righteous and holy and likeness of God. And determines where self will spend eternity. Holy, set apart. This is the system. Every single time, what you put in will dictate what you get out of it. To reach the goal, remember we said the key in reaching the goal is what you want. You had better want what is good if you want to reach the goal. This brings us to the third part of our lesson. The more you eat, the more you are what you eat. Here is a process. We're going to see it. How do people get to where they are, especially those who are of depraved mind, if you will? Here's the process. First of all, doing the lusts of deceit initially corrupted their self. Look in verse 22 again. In reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside your old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of the deceit. See, they have a lust, and they pursue it, and bam, they're corrupted. All right. Then, their corrupted self, not having laid aside... Remember, lay aside these things. Don't walk as they're walking, because they continue to walk in them. All right? They continue in them. They're continually doing them, calloused and hardened their heart, or their self. Look in verse 19. Actually, let me back up in verse 17. This I say, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles, who also walk in the futility of their mind. See, this is what they're doing. Don't walk like that. And this is what they are. They're futile in their mind. But we'll understand what comes before being futile in just a minute. Being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of their hardness of heart. You see, the hardness of heart comes before the ignorance and the futility. Verse 19, and they have become callous. At first, they do something. They initially corrupt themselves. They keep on doing it, and they keep on doing it. And the more they do it, they finally become calloused or hardened of heart. And at the same time, they become ignorant and darkened in their understanding. This is after they've been calloused. And at the same time, they give themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity and greediness. This is the process, and this will happen every single time. Okay? The more you do wrong, the more you want to do wrong. That's what this is saying. You're initially corrupted. You continue in it. You become callous and hardened. Then you become ignorant, and then you give yourself over. And that happens every single time, and the more you do wrong, the more you will want to do wrong. By the way, the more you do wrong, the less you'll actually understand what is wrong and what is right. So here's a practical application. Sometimes somebody later on comes up to you and says, hey, that's wrong. Guess who's probably right if they've been studying the Word of God and obeying it? They are. So you have a choice. You can either say, but, or you say, that's probably right, and accept it for what it is. But observe, the more you do wrong, the more you want to do wrong. It'll happen every time, automatically. And so what's the object? What's the lesson? Clear as day, right? Not only should we not do wrong, that's what he's saying, but so far as depends on us, we should completely avoid exposure to lust of deceit. Now, we can't completely... We have to be taken out of the world to completely avoid it. It's going to happen. But what I'm saying is, yeah, somebody else might bring it to me, but I'm going to do my best to keep away from all of it. Whatever I can do, I'm going to keep away from it. And isn't this what the Bible teaches in different places? Ephesians 4:29, same chapter, five verses later. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Okay, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to keep the filth away, and I'm going to give you good stuff. That's what this is saying. And I want the same thing for me. Keep the filth away, please, and give me the good stuff. That's the way I'm going to live my life. Because I know, if I take in more of the bad stuff, what's going to happen? I'm going to have cloudy judgment to begin with. And then, I'm just going to keep on going and going and going unless I rein myself in. I don't want that. Who in here wants to eat toxic soup every morning? No? No takers? Well, I'm surprised. But it's the same application. You want to stay away from this stuff. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these. Dwell. That's what you're putting your time into. I'm going to use my mind. God gives me a resource, a mind and time. And guess what I'm going to do with that? I'm going to dwell on these things because I don't want the garbage. Because if I take garbage in, garbage is going to come out. I don't want garbage. So I will dwell on... Oh, by the way, what are these things? Verse 9, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you, Paul says. And then the principle is again stated in 1 Thessalonians 5. Examine everything. And my version says carefully, because that's the point. You're out there, you're looking. Because remember, we don't want the bad. We want to avoid the toxic soup. We want to. Because we want what's good. So we're going to examine everything carefully. What is it? What is that? Is this good? Yes, it is. Give it to me. I want to dwell on that. Is that bad? Get it away from me. Let me run away from it. Abstain from every form of evil. Did you get that part? Every. Last I knew, every is absolute. There are no exceptions to every. Every form of evil, stay away from them. So let me give you three quick illustrations or applications. Number one, avoid spending too much time with people, friends, who are worldly. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 33. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good moral. Did you hear it? Let me say it again. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Now, we have to spend time. And we want to spend time. But be very, very careful. In fact, did everybody in here sing the song this morning that I didn't ask George to lead? Shun evil companions. I didn't ask him to lead that. We all sang that before I even got up here. So if you don't like what I just said, you shouldn't have sang the song. You said this before I even got up here. So we're on the same page. The question is the application. Oh, it's easy to sing it. Now we got to go out and do it. We have to, because that's what we're saying to God. Look, I don't want the trash. Get the trash away from me, because I want what's good. At the same time, avoid exposure to places where evil abounds. Psalm 1. This is talking about people, places, or anything where there is evil. It's a metaphor. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of, here are the wicked, and I'm walking. All right. And then it goes on to say, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Okay. Don't walk, don't stand, and don't sit. Sitting is, oh, I'm comfortable. I like it here. Standing is, well, I'm kind of curious. Hey, wait, what? That's what we call window shopping. And then walking is, you're in the area. And this says, how blessed is the man who does not walk, don't even go around there. This is all obvious. Nobody here disagrees with this, at least in theory, right? We all say, yes, there it is. No, I understand. It's difficult to understand when and how, but the general idea should be, this is how we live our life. Let me ask you again. Who wants to eat trash this morning, tomorrow? No takers. Why not? What a stupid question. Okay? Violence, sex, aberrational behavior, dog abuse. Now, if you've been in tune with God's word long enough, you understand bad, evil, stay away. Oh, I wonder what this is in. I wonder what quote this could be in. NC-17. I think you all know what this is. These are the Motion Picture of America, Association of America ratings. NC-17. Look at this one right here. NC-17 does not mean that obscene or pornographic in the common or legal meaning of those words and should not be construed as a negative judgment in any sense. Oh, thank you so much for thinking for me. This is exactly what's going on here. Oh, right. It's not in the legal sense, so it's okay. It's not to be thought of as negative. No. And what's the opposite of negative? It's okay. Oh, so the violence and the sex and the aberrational behavior and the drug use, oh, they're fine? Listen to what's going on here. No one 17 or under admitted. Oh, but it's okay for adults. That's what this is saying. It's okay for adults. Rated motion picture is one that, in the view of the rating board, remember that, it's in the view of the rating board, was made up of a randomly chosen bunch of parents. Actually, they volunteer. But parents do this. Oh, so the question is, what are the values of those parents? And you'll see that they're not the same as the Bible, the Bible's values. Most parents, most, would consider patently too adult for their children 17 and under, but some might not, so go ahead and take them. Should children be seeing this stuff? No. Should parents? By the way, how will a parent know if a child should? Only if the parent watches it. This is what they're saying here. This is the whole plan of this whole rating system. Parents, you need to watch these to know whether or not your children should. But it's okay for you. That's the assumption, right? Any other element that most parents would consider too strong and therefore off limits for viewing by their children. Right. It's not even good for parents. What's the point? Avoid movies with filth in them. Just avoid it. I'm not done here. We're going to go through all these. R, rated R. adult material, adult themes, adult activity, hard language. By the way, hard language wasn't even mentioned in the NC-17 because that's nothing for the compared to the rest of it. Persistent violence, sexually oriented nudity, and drug abuse. So you're at Red Box. Honey, there's this movie. Should I get it? We haven't seen it yet. Honey, if he or she is smart, says this. Does it have any of this filth in it? Yes. Honey then says, we already made that decision when we became Christians. We are not watching that garbage. It's not going to be in our house. Well, it's just a little bit of the movie. I mean, that's not the whole movie. It's just a little bit. Oh, so a little bit is okay? Did you get that out of the passages that we read? Philippians chapter 4. Let's just turn there and read that again for the fun of it. Might be a good reminder for us. Philippians chapter 4. Let's see where we find a little bit, okay? Philippians 4. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, if there's any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell. That means it's taking up your time and you don't have time for a little. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Examine everything and hold carefully, hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Everyone, this is not good. Oh, it's just a little bit. Oh, really? Be honest with yourself. Be very honest with yourself. Many littles add up to a whole lot, don't they? Oh, did you see all the trash that was listed there? That's in the... Oh, it's just a little bit. Be honest. This is the issue. We have to be honest. Oh, we like it. We like it. After all, it's easy. After a long week, come home, throw on the DVD, sit back. It's easy. Let our mind unwind. With trash. What are you taking in? What am I taking into myself Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Monday, Tuesday? All week? This is PG-13. Let's just read this. Parents strongly cautioned. Some material may not be suitable for children under 13, but it's fine for everybody else. A PG-13 rating is a sterner warning by the rating board. By the way, I'm going backwards. In their presentation, they go from G up. So as to determine whether children under 13 should watch the motion picture, as some material might not be suited for them, but it's okay for everybody else. A PG-13 motion picture may go beyond the PG rating in theme, violence, nudity, sensuality, language, adult activities, and other elements. But this does not reach the restricted R category. Oh, it must be okay. It's not R. The theme of the motion picture by itself will not result in a rating greater than PG-13, although depictions of activities related to a mature theme may result in a restricted rating for the motion picture. Any drug use will initially require at least a PG-13. More than brief nudity will require at least a PG-13 rating. Oh, okay. Because you see, when it's more than brief, then you're stepping into a problem for your child. But as long as it's brief nudity, oh, go to it. That's what they're saying. This is not from the Bible. This is against God's word. This is no joke. And it's out there. And that's what they're trying to pump into us. And if we let them stuff it in my face. And then we watch all this stuff and we wonder. So, it takes just a second. We're watching a PG one. Because remember, PG-13 is where it gets more than brief. So you're watching a PG movie, and there's brief nudity. That much. And you were doing okay that week, you know? It was pretty good until you saw that much. And then next thing you know, you're on the internet. And then Sunday rolls around, and you're thinking of the Lord's Supper, and you're saying, God, why am I such a dirty, rotten pig, a slug? And God says, look what you're doing! What do you expect? Garbage in. Garbage out. This is all around us. This is everywhere. PG, parental guidance suggested, some material may not be suitable for children. Oh, remember, it has brief nudity. Down here, Some profanity. Oh, that's just great. That's exactly what I need. I just need to hear some profanity. Give me some profanity today. That's what I want. Or how about my kid? Child, let me give you some brief profanity. Yeah, this is what we do. Some depictions of violence. Brief nudity. Kid, come over here. I want to shove some toxic poison into your brain. Great idea. God happy with that? What about the kid? Who cares about the kid so you don't have kids? What about me? Here, let me shove some into my mouth. No, we wouldn't think that way with food. So why do we do it with our spiritual lives? Oh, no drug use. Oh, whew. I'm glad there's no drug use. And all this other stuff is okay, though. And then rated G, general audience. All ages admitted. A G-rated motion picture contains nothing in theme, language, nudity, sex, violence, or other matters that, in view of the rating board. That's their opinion. What's God's opinion? That's the real question. Would offend the parents whose younger children view the motion picture. The G rating is not a certificate of approval, nor does it signify a children's motion picture, but some snippets of language may go beyond polite conversation that they are common, but they are common everyday expression. Look, you hear it all the time. Oh, go to it. You hear it all the time, really. So it's okay to put it in the movie. Depictions of violence. That's what I want. I want me to watch my depictions of violence and my son and my 3-4-year-old daughter and my... Is that what we want? Consider Romans. Romans 12, about violence specifically. Verse 14 we'll start at, just for the fun of it. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. In doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. This was talking not about profanity. This was not talking about sexual immorality. This was talking about violence. One manifestation of vengeance. What's the movie? The Patriot. Anybody ever see The Patriot? So there's this scene where Mel Gibson, isn't it The Patriot? Mel Gibson, a big bad meanie, kills his son. And guess what? Me, sitting there watching the movie, guess what I wanted to do? And so Mel Gibson goes after the big bad meanie, and he gets him. He gets him good. And the first time I watched it, I jumped off the couch, and I was cheering him on. Go, Mel. Well, that's not at all what this passage has said. I had the wrong attitude there. You can sympathize or empathize with the guy, you understand that, but look at what this passage is saying. This passage is saying, so far as depends on you, be at peace with all men. Let God take care of the vengeance. You remember the expression, what would Jesus do? Well, I tell you what my dad did when he was sitting right there. He looked at me and he shook his head no. And that was when I realized, he's right. I just turned into an animal. And he's right. Because this passage tells us, some of you might have remembered Bernadine Dorn. She was a terrorist, a domestic terrorist in the 60s and 70s. She wrote to justify, she said, this is from a video, I am living in the most violent country in history, and I'm not supposed to be violent? And she also said, there is no way to be committed to nonviolence in one of the most violent societies that history has ever created. And that was before Xbox. And that was before all the trash that we have now. And what she's saying, I'm a product of my society. And we have these movies that are everywhere that say, get them back! Tenfold! The bloodiest way you can, and oh yeah, the coolest way too. Because that's what it's all about. As I fire my gun like that, flying through the air. Oh, isn't that neat? And it's trash! And it's not helping us! Garbage in, garbage out! Oh yeah, there's no nudity. No sex scenes in a G1. But how many times have you seen the stupid innuendo in the little kids film? Oh, that's just great. That's what I need. I know my son doesn't understand it, but I do, and I didn't need that. Titus chapter 1. Titus 1 verse 15. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. This is exactly what... It's a kid's movie, people! And you've got to put the trash in there. Why is that? Because you yourself are impure, and I don't want anything to do with it. But yet I put it into my mind and my children's mind all day long. They, verse 16, profess to know God. Oh, wait a minute. We're not talking about movie makers here. We're talking about people who claim to be Christians. But by their deeds, they deny him, being detestable, disobedient, and worthless for any good deed. In 2013, I looked at one site. There were 143 films that were produced in America. One of them was G, at least these that voluntarily submitted their movies to the association to be rated. One was G, 17 were PG. That makes 125 of them PG-13 or worse. That's what we fed ourselves on last year. America. Go to the movie theater, what did you see? You probably saw trash. I'm not saying they're all trash, but that's what you probably saw. Despicable Me was one of the better ones. Despicable Me too, I haven't seen it yet. But there's so much, there's trash everywhere. And we're feeding it in. Give me some more. I want some more. And what are we doing to ourselves? By the way, you know about that rating system? The Hollywood Reporter, 2013, December. So this is new. Study, PG-13 films combine as much violence, sex, and alcohol as R-rated titles. Researchers find little difference between PG-13 and R-rated films when it comes to risky behavior. Our findings raise serious concerns about the effectiveness of the Motion Picture Association of America's rating system. In other words, all that garbage we just read, it doesn't even do anything. So you might say, oh, this is PG-13, which to begin with, if you even read what that actually means, it's garbage. But then you read it, and this says, look, they're totally indiscriminate about how they use it. They just throw, oh, we'll put this one here and put this one. I realize it's more than that. But this is saying the system isn't working, folks. And yet, we're pouring these things into our mind. Oh, I just watch TV. For the sake of time, folks, we're not going to go into that. But it's the same thing. You know it. The question is, being honest with yourself. Oh, but as far as television goes, I only watch sports and news. And you've just labeled two of the three things, including commercials, that are not rated. In other words, the primetime shows are rated and therefore restricted somewhat, but the news isn't. You don't know what you'll see on the news. Or sports? You know what you'll see on sports. You know what you'll see. Commercials? Let me give you some advice. If you're watching commercials, or if you're watching a program that might have commercials, have the remote right there. Because you're going to need it. Or get up and leave. Because you know what it is. Remember, guys, garbage in, garbage out. Now, earlier, George prayed that we're here to help each other, encourage each other. That's the point of this lesson. Who wants to go to heaven? I know I do. So I needed to hear this. And I'm assuming that y'all are like the rest of me, or I'm like the rest of you. Right? You know, we live here. We have these opportunities. And I need help. I don't want the garbage in, but it's right there. It's right there. Oh, it's everywhere. Oh, by the way, we didn't talk about internet, music, magazines, games, did we? We didn't, books. We didn't talk about it. But you know, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Now, the question is this. Have you been arguing inside your head with me? Now, assuming that I have accurately portrayed God's will. Now, I might not have. Please, if I have not, you need to let me know. If I have you been arguing? If you have, then that is a sign. Remember, Ephesians chapter 4, that you walk no longer as the Gentiles who also walk in the... Those are the ones that are going to argue. No, you're wrong. Remember, they don't know what's wrong. Because their minds are useless, that's the word, and the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, and they have become callous. Please don't be arguing, unless I'm wrong. Please don't be arguing. Instead, commit yourself. Say, hey, look, there's nothing but trash out there. It's everywhere. It's here, it's there, and it's everywhere. Remember we said that some small changes can bring back great rewards? Oh, you're asking me to change my friends, change where I go, and change what I do when I come home. That's big until you look at it with reference to the cross. And then it becomes, there's a man that died for us. Yeah, I'll turn off the television program. I'll do it. Because it's nothing compared to a man dying for you. If you're in this situation, then you need to repent. You need to change for your good, for our good, and so that you can go to heaven. That's what it's all about. If you need help, hey man, I'm addicted to this stuff. You need to let us know somehow. We need to help each other. We need to be there for each other. If this appeal appeals to you at all, then let us know as a congregation. Right now we're going to stand and sing the song. Let us know, and we can begin this process of healing right now, but only if you let us know. Thank you for your listening. Let's stand and sing the song that's been chosen.